So as an introduction to, I'm going to start from the beginning. So we were holding basically in Shvi'is Perek Chet, and we were about to do Mishnah Vav. So what we realized is that in order to really do Mishnah Vav properly, because this is what's entering into this whole new area of not what's usher to do in terms of the Avedas Karka, and not just what's the din of how to be noeg, the inyanim of Kedusha Shvius, which we'll be talking about also here, but the way in which the other issues of Shvius, which are the way that we act with the Paris vis-a-vis the land that has to do with the harvesting, the way that we harvest, and how we actually treat the Paris that we harvest. What is the din of the limitations that the Torah told us? Etzviach tzircha lo tiktzor, vet inven zirecha lo tiftzor, shnat shabbaton yela aretz. It's very unclear what that means, because it's telling us not to do a collection of Paris that had already grown. How does that help the shnat shabbaton? Does it mean that we're not supposed to eat anything? It says don't collect them. It can't mean that, because the next words in the Parsha is Vaita Shabbata Aretz Lachem Lo'achla. So it's almost as if the Torah is going out of its way to set up this tension between two psukim. On the one hand, it says, don't harvest your tvua, and don't pick your grapes, but make sure that everything that grows on the land is for you to eat. So and what exactly would that mean? So that's the question, and how we deal with that, where there's three basically different approaches in the Rishonim, is all based on the contradiction in those psukim and the way that the Teras Kayanim comes to deal with that contradiction. So what it says in the Teras Kayanim is that there's two issues that differentiate Pasuk 1 from Pasuk 2. So one issue is that the Inven Nizirecha Lo Tiftzor, the answer to that is that if in fact there were Paris that were not mufkar on Shvius, and that they were shamur, those are called shamur, the technical word for Paris that nobody was mafkir, machlokas, whether you have to actually go and be mafkir that we spoke about, or whether it's already considered to be mufkir b'dei shamayim, unless you do something which is actually actively shamur, that we'll discuss separately. But min ha-shamur, says the Torah Skanim, iyat ha-botzer. So there, you've basically, it sounds like, you've basically ossered those Paris on yourself by being shamur them. Is that what it means? Well, that's not clear, because the other difference, says the Teras Kohanim, is lo tiftzor kederech habotzri, the way you would normally do a betzira. Now that, it's not clear. Are these two tnaim that are one built on the other, or are they alternatives? So that is a big machlokas. Because what the Teras Kohanim says is, on the one hand, you cannot do betzira from the shamur, but you can do from non-shamur. So if it was mufkar, it's okay. And there needs to be a change in the way you do it. So that's called a shinui. So it can't be kederech habotzri. Has to be different. So the Rabbeinu Tam learns that basically each one of these things is true, and each one of them is a separate chumrah. So therefore, if you have something which is mufkar, so then at least it's mutter to be eaten, but it requires a shinui. If you have something which is shamur, you can't eat it at all. So that means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we are learning out two different dinim over here. There's an iser, permanent iser on a shamur, and there it wouldn't help how it is that you collect it. You're not allowed to eat it. And then there's a heter for things that are mufkar, but there's a caveat. And that is, okay, it may be all right for you to eat, but you can't deal with it the way you would deal with normal paris of your own, and it must be, that means it's a deraisa. Normally the concept of a shinui is always an issue of the way that the Rabbanan said to be machmer on something. The question is whether the shinui over here is a shinui, and this is the central piece in this Mishnah, and that's why we need to do this introduction here. Is the shinui the equivalent of a shinui in a Melech HaShabbos? Well, that is a deraisa. Because a shinui in a malachas Shabbos means that I'm doing the malacha not as a malachas machsheves. So there it really is a halacha in how it's done. How it's done. Meaning, what type of kli do I use? Let's say when it would become to berer on Shabbos. So over there, the question of my using a kli that was made for brera, like a sifter or something, would make a nafkamina la halacha in terms of the chiyuv of skila on Shabbos. And it defines the shinui. So then that would be, if that's the way we understand Shinui here, then it would be true in this Mishnah that it would mean that the way that we need to do the Betzira on Shemitah is by using abnormal Kalim to do it, the same way we would do Boyer with a Shinui. And therefore, the way to understand our Mishnah, which tells us don't use the normal Kli for cutting down figs, is because I need to do a Shinui. And that would be the way to understand it. That indeed is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. All right, so then it would be the partial way to read the Mishnah and would not refer to the modality of how you treat the peres. It's the actual way in which you achieve the betira of the peres. Now, the opposite approach is the approach of the Rash. The Rash's approach is, which we have here in the Mishnah, of course, is that actually the Taras Kayanim are not two dinim l'chumra, they are two dinim l'kula. So, memela, if something is shamur, then there is a special way to deal with it. But if something is not shamur, something is mufkar properly, do whatever you want with it. There are no limitations. And even if it is shamur, there's a way out of the problem. If it's shamur, so then you can do a shinui, and then it would be mutter. So in other words, according to him, it's mamish, the opposite approach. You would be allowed to be botzer, perot, shmurim, as long as you do it with a shinui. If it's perot that are not shmurim, you don't have to do a shinui. You could just go straight ahead and take it the way you normally would take it. So now, getting back to what the halacha is. What are we allowed to do, which is what our mission is talking about. What is mutter and what is aser? Let's just remember again what the psukim are and what the Taras Kayanim is and what the various approaches among the Rishonim are. That's where we were in the middle of discussion. So we have the pasuk where the Taras says, what are you allowed to do? To do is not what we're discussing. What are you allowed to collect? Okay. Et sviach kitzircha lo tiktzar. You're not allowed to harvest. Et invein izirecha lo tiktzar. You're not allowed to collect your wine, your grapes. Shnat shabbaton yela aretz. Now, the shnat shabbaton yela aretz is a little weird because collecting doesn't have anything. I mean, am I affecting the aretz by collecting what was grown? It's not clear what it means. Does it mean, well, you're not allowed to make use of the earth to provide your food, even though you're not doing anything that forces it to produce the food? That can't be, because the very next words are, Vahita Shabbat Haaretz Vachem La'Ochla. You're supposed to be eating the Shabbat Haaretz. So first you use the Shabbat Haaretz as a reason not to collect, and then you're saying, the reason is because it's meant to be for your food. L'cha, ulavdecha, v'lamatecha, l'schircha, l'toshavcha, garimimach. So how do we make sense of the pasuk? The pasuk is obviously telling us something about the modality of utilizing the growth of Shemitah for your food in a particular way in which you have you and your servants and all of the people are going to be provided for, as opposed to sviach kitzircha lo tiktzar. So that was the question. What does that mean? Okay, so then we had that basic approach of the Taras Kayanim. The Sifra explains it like this. Et invei nezirecha lo tiftzar. That means if it is your nezirecha, meaning you were the one who actually made sure that it was your own, you didn't let anybody in there, that's called shamur, that you utilized, you were over on the Isser, and the Torah said you're supposed to be mafkir, your sada. You weren't mafkir, your sada, and you didn't allow people in. That's called shamur. So that is the meaning of nizirecha. If you kept it for yourself, you can't eat it. So therefore, mina shamur ba'aretz eina tabotzer. You're not allowed to eat things that were shamur. But if it wouldn't be nizirecha, then you could. So aval atabotzer min hamufkar. Furthermore, lo tiftzar means do not do it normally. Lo tiftzar kederech habotzrim. So what we're talking about is don't do it in a way that you would do it if you were engaged in this for commercial purposes, and it would be the way that you would do it professionally, as if it's your stuff and you're concerned about it. You pick the tractor, whatever, that you can't do. So, okay, so then that means that we have basically two separate understandings in the same Toras Kohanim about the meaning of Nizirecha. Does Nizirecha mean you kept it for itself? Or is Nizirecha a adjective that defines the modality of how it is you're going about and collecting it? So now the question is, I mean, are those contradictions? Are they options? Are they one on top of the other? Is that supposed to be understood as wired in parallel? Or is it basically wired in series? So this is Gufa, the Machlokas Rishonim that we have. So our most chomer approach, remember, was the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rabbeinu Tam understood that both of these things are actually limitations. So in other words, this is wired in series over here. So if it was mufkar, first let's make our first determination. Was it shomur or was it mufkar? Shomur. Oh, sir, goodbye. Oy, boy. Okay, it was mufkar. Now what? Oh, now it depends. Okay, how are you going to go about doing it? Are you going to go about doing it the way you would in a normal commercial betzira? Then you can't do that either. Even if it's mufkar. If it's mufkar, you're able to do it, but you're able to do it only with a shinui from the normal way to show that it actually isn't yours. And what that shinui would be whatever. We can talk about the shinui in terms of the amounts. We can talk about the shinui in terms of the tools that you use for doing it. That we're going to get into separately. But we do require some type of shinui according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. And then we have the Das of the Rash, which we find in the Mishnayos, but this is the Rash Mishans from the Balei Tosfos. And he says, no, on the contrary. What it's doing is actually wiring it in parallel. You're trying to get to a Betzira. Okay, there's two ways you can get to a Betzira. One way of getting to a Betzira is if it's not Nizirecha, meaning you did not keep it as Shomer. So if it was Mufkar, then you can do whatever you want with it. You can harvest it the way you would normally harvest it too, and you do not need to make a shinui. Suppose, however, it wasn't Mufkar. Okay, so now let's take the other approach. The other approach is, okay, if it was in fact Mishumar, so then it's true you're not allowed to do it normally, but you could do it with a shinui. So according to the Rash, it would be mutter to do, even if it was Shamur with a shinui, and there would be no Isser of Achila on Shamur at all. That is fine. A very different approach. So one is that both of the Inyanim and the Toras Kohanim are Lechumra, and one is that both of the Inyanim are actually separate kulas that allow you two completely different ways you do it. So those are those fundamental pshatim that are based on the understanding of the Diraisa in the Toras Kohanim. Now, in the Pirush of the Chumash, what the Ramban explains is that it's not a reference, the Diraisa, to a question of Shamur. What is the meaning of the Pasuk is the Betzira itself an indication of Baalut? That's the meaning. So as long as you do a Kitzira, or as long as you do a Betzira that is not Kitzirecha, it's not showing that this is mine, then it would be mutter. It's the Chachamim who created the Isser of both issues, to be utilizing peros that are shamur, and to be doing a standard kitsira and betsira. So basically what he says is, this is the Lashon of the Ramban, shelo tiktzor otam ata levadecha litzorech atzmecha. That's the idea. And therefore, everything, kol asher totzi b'shvitata min ha-safiach v'ha-nazir, l'kuchem yachad lo'ochla, l'cha l'aniyecha. And that is a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. Then it all adds up. Et safiach kitzircha lo tiktzor, et invei nizirecha lo tiftzor. Why? Because this is a shnat shabbaton yela aretz, which is the Shabbat Aretz is meant to be lachem lochla, to everybody, lachal, avdechal, amatecha, lesircha, and so on and so forth. And therefore, if you go about pretending that it's yours and taking it away from other people, then you're going to be over on the Isser. But as long as you do it in a way that you take a minimum amount that you need for yourself, and you're like everybody else, and you acknowledge the fact in the way that your boats are, and the way that your coats are, you acknowledge the fact that what we're talking about over here is things that everybody has the rights to, then you're doing it fine. However, the Chachamim were gozer, says Ramban. Hageder, shegadrua Chachamim. This is a geder of Shmir, not to come to this, sir. Shalolikach perot menar mishumar, or not to be lokeach perot from someone who's chashud, that he was shomer's perot. That is a geder. But the idea over there was, is not that they're osir, lo asua Chachamim perot asadeh. They just said not to buy it from somebody who has been watching it as if it's his own. They didn't say not to eat it. And that's our Mishnah. Now the Ramban actually brings our Mishnah, which is what we were, had just started learning. V'chein ha'inyan sha'amru, she'ein kotzitzin ha'te'enim b'makzea, v'lo dorchina ha'anavim begat. Not to use the normal kalim for processing. That is a getter. That's an esmachta. What the Pasuk was talking about is not this. That drosha is a drosha b'derech esmachta, not to treat it the way that you would normally treat it. That was the shinoi, not the way the Rabbeinu Tam is learning, that that's b'ikar adin, and that this is a deraisa, and that it's osur b'achila. None of this is true. It's only k'dei shelo yavo lidei shimur, u'k'dei shelo yavo la'asifat ha'perot v'yigazlo otam min aniyim. It's in order to avoid people making the mistake of thinking that they can treat this as their own, and then their mom is stealing. So they would be stealing the perots from the aniyim, and they would be over on these isurim, and the Torah said that it's meant to be for all of you. All of that is true, but the isurim that were created were isurim in order not to come to that, and they're derabbanan. Okay, so then that means that there's no isur that we're talking about deraita over here on Shamur, other than to the person himself, the owner himself, and that he cannot go about doing what he would do in a way that further insists that he is the bialing. But there's no iser cheftza. There's an iser on the person. There's no iser cheftza, like the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Then there is no problem of asering the actual food. Okay, now the question of the halacha, the way the Rambam brings the halacha, he doesn't mention a word about shomur. All he says is derech. He talks about the derech. Ha'perot she'yotzi ha'ilan b'shvi'it lo yasfeim k'derech she'osef kol hashana. Don't do it the way you normally do it. She'nemar ve'etinvei nizirecha lov tivtzor. And that is a deraisa. Im batzar, with normal avodat ha'ilan, or she'batzar k'derech ha'botzrim, so obviously if he does it for avodat ha'ilan in a way that makes the tree grow better, that would be the other Isurim. Or if he's Batsar Kederach HaBotzrim, he would actually get Malkus. And therefore, he doesn't even bring in as an issue the Rambam about whether there would be an Isur of Betzira, that things have to be Mufkar, and that would Asur them. So it's as if he never heard of the Rabbeinu Tam's issue at all, and he's completely ignoring somehow or other the Toras Kohanim that makes that distinction, right? So that means that we've got really four different approaches, and that is, according to the Rambam, doesn't matter, shomur, not shomur, there is mutter, but the betzira has to be done with a shinoi. Now we have to see what that shinoi is, how to understand the meaning of the gat in our Mishnah, or the maktsa in this Mishnah. The Rabbeinu Tam says, the peros themselves is the total opposite. The peros themselves are otzer, if they were shomer, and the only type of betzira that you can do is only b'shinoi. Okay? The Rash learned that you can use perot shmurim, and you can do a betzira on perot shmurim, but there you have to do the betzira with the shinoi. Masha'en kein, if the peros were normal peros hefker, and you're coming in to take peros hefker, you don't need to make a shinoi at all. So that is the biggest kula that we have. He holds that it's literally mutter, even mirabbanan, to be botzer without a shinoi as long as the peros were hefker. Even the Ramban who was maker, remember, he said the rabbanan would make go there together, and the rabbanan said that you need to make a shinoi. That's for sure. And even peirot that were shmurim, according to Ramban, are mutter in betzira. But even the ones that are hefker, which are obviously mutter in betzira, can only be done mid rabbanan with a shinoi. So that gives us four different shitas as to how to really appreciate the halachas. And basically, as we're going to see, that la halacha, it appears that we paskin. This is the question about, whether there is a way to utilize the kulas of the Rash, which we are somech on under certain conditions, that actually it's mutter to be botzer without a shinui, is possible in an otzer bezdin. So in other words, we could be mitzarev the Rash's shita about whether a shinui is even needed at all. He's the only one who says you don't even need a shinui, that in a case where the bezdin has taken responsibility for the betzira, that then it's possible to do a typical betzira because it's not a giloy of bilus. It's a giloy of the bezdin's activity. That makes a lot of sense. But basically, we're paskening that even peros hefker require a shinui, like the Rabbanan said, like the Ramban said, Aliba, that it's a din and a Rabbanan at least, and because of that, we would have to make a shinui. Okay, as far as the question of Shomor is concerned, that still remains up in the air, whether there is any Isra on Shomor that we have to worry about. Now, when we get to our Mishnah, which is the Te'enim Shel Shvi'is, Ein Kotzinotam B'Muktzeh, Avo Kotzimotam B'Cherev, what exactly that means, because that is clearly talking about a shinui. So what is it referring to? That was what we will start doing, Bezrat Hashem, when we get back into the Mishnah. Is the shinui with the modality, meaning that the kli is different, or is it the amounts that are different and the way of that you're taking things in, which is going to be different if you're using a tractor than if you're using a hand picking, so to speak. So that's the question that's where we were up to. So the Mishnah says, Te'enim shel shvi'it ein kotzin otan b'muktzeh, avo kotzeh otan b'churba. So now the way that most of the Mefarshim learn is what it means is you cannot cut your te'enim with the muktzah being a type of kli, which is called a muktzah, and because you would be doing your harvesting without a shinui. But if you take just a kitchen knife or a battle knife and you cut it, then that's not the normal way that we cut figs. Now, who would that be going according to? So again, what is the Mishnah referring to? Is the Mishnah referring to Shamur, or is the Mishnah referring to Peirot that were properly Mufkar? Okay, now that depends on the Shitas that we had. We basically had four different Shitas, okay? Remember that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who was very Machmir, if it's shamur, you can't be kotze it at all. It's actually usser. If it wasn't shamur, then, that's how we understood the Torah's Kohanim, remember? Then you also need to define the difference between kederech habotzrim, and that kederech habotzrim you can't do, so you need to make a shinui. What would that shinui be? Use a kitchen knife instead of your normal way of cutting the figs. That would be the explanation. According to the Rambam, who holds that he doesn't bring Bichlal, the din of Shamur. So he understood that the issue in the Taras Kohanim is telling me that as long as I don't show bilus, that's the point. Not kederech habotri, meaning not kederech habalim. But according to the Rambam, to kederech habalim has nothing to do with the type of kli. What does it matter with kli? I mean, whoever's cutting, you are a bialim, you're not a bialim, you're still going to use normal kli to cut. That's not the point. So what, you need to, by using a kitchen knife, I'm showing I'm not a bialim? With mapitom. Therefore, the Rambam has a totally different take on the Mishnah, which is very consistent with the latter part of the Mishnah, as we'll see. And he understands the word muktzah to mean what muktzah means in Shabbos. What is a muktzah? A muktzah is an area that is set aside for muktzah. What's the classic muktzah? Drying figs. Where in the case, while they're drying, they're muktzah. You call that area on the roof or in your field, that's called a muktzah. Now, if you're not the owner, you're not going to collect that much that you now put it into a muktzah. Because, I mean, they're going to catch you, you know. So if you're the owner, you're talking about commercial quantities. That's what it means. Don't collect commercial quantities, to put it the way you would as an owner, stack it out on your roof, spread it out, and then everybody sees, oh, you know, this guy's the owner of these figs. But in Shemitah, you can't be the owner. So therefore, when we say, sorry about my voice, there, when we say that you can, bechurva doesn't mean becherva, it means bechurva, in a churva. So if there happens to be a place where there's like, oh, nobody's there right now, you spread it out, okay, fine. Then you're not acting like an owner. An owner's not going to put his stuff in a churva. He's got a place in which he's going to spread it out in order to dry. You want to put it into churvas, rebuta, chosid, and so on, and then gives it to eight. But you're not allowed to do that, as we learned back in the Dinim of Beit HaKnesset. I guess it means another churva. But anyway, so that would be the way the Rambam understands it. Now remember, we had two other approaches. So one according to the Rash, was that even Peirot Shmurim are mutter, but that's where you need to make a shinui. But if it wasn't Shamur, you don't even need to make a shinui. So according to him, the Mishnah is only talking about Shamur, the exact opposite of Rabbeinu Tam, who says the Mishnah could only talking about Eino Shamur. So since the Mishnah is talking about Shamur, according to him, that's why you need to make a shinui. But if the Mishnah was talking about Eino Shamur, you wouldn't even need to make a shinui, and therefore the whole Mishnah would make no sense. Why would you not be allowed to use a muktzah if it wasn't Shamur? It's completely mutter to you like to anybody else. And then we had the Ramban's pshat, who is mechalik in the Darabbanan. The Ramban says this din of a shinui is not because of the Teras Kayanim's diuk in the Pasuk. It's simply a Gezerah Derabbanan, in order to make sure that what you do is not the derech that a Bailam would normally do. That's all that it's telling you. So in that he agrees with the theory of the Rambam. The point is that it should be evident from the way that you are doing your harvesting, that the way you're doing your harvesting, that is a quantity issue. But the Rabbanan furthermore goes there to actually make a shinui in how, not only in what. Great. Okay, so then we have basically four different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Is it referring to Shomor, not Shomor? Is it referring to a shinui midiraisa? Is it referring to a shinui midirabbanan? Is it referring to a shinui in terms of how? Or is it referring to a shinui in terms of how much? So that is a perfect introduction to this Mishnah. And therefore, we can now continue. Okay. So you can be kotzinotan b'mukta, no. Unless it's according to the Rash, which you could, if it wasn't Shomer. We're talking about Shomer. But you could be kotzinotan either b'charba or b'churva. Again, depending on whether you're going like the Rambam or you're going like the other approaches. Ein dorchin anavim bagat. Now, the idea over here, everybody would have to agree, the Korah, that the Mishnah, in this part of the Mishnah, is talking about how much. And even if it's, you're insisting it's the how and not the how much, it's certainly not how it is that you're doing the Betzira itself. You see? So according to the Rambam, this makes more sense. Don't collect enough grapes to actually be able to fill up your grape press, because then you're acting like a balaam when you collect the grapes. But if you learn the other approach, so then it means don't treat those grapes in the way that you would treat them if you were the balaam, because you're processing them in commercial. Here we're talking about quantities. That's not what we were talking about before. You see why it makes more sense, according to the Rambam, the consistency of the Mishnah. But you can take like a few of them, put them in an areva, you know, okay, that's fine. I mean, areva is what you normally would mix your dough in, and then you make little bits of wine at a time. So then you're not acting like a bialim with these grapes. Ve'eno sim zeitim babad ubakotav. So here too, the pashtus would be babad is in the Beit Habad. That's the olive press, and that would be the regular, again, according to Rambam, there shouldn't be enough to fill up your olive press. According to the others who are talking about the how, you don't want to press them the way you normally would press them, even if you're making a small run, that wouldn't be the point. So that you want to avoid. But, so you don't do that in the bad, and you don't do that in a kotev, exactly what a kotev is. Machlokas Rishonim is a kotev basically a miniature Beit HaBad, but it still is a, you know, a personal Beit HaBad, or is it a something that is similar to a Beit HaBad in the sense that it's very effective? You use very heavy wood on these zeitim, but it's not really that you have all the great options in the Beit HaBad of increasing pressure by screwing and things like that. That's more professional. But even that is considered to be osur avokotesh. What you can do is you could grind them up, which makes it easier for them to let the oil out, and then you could put it into a budida, which is just like a little place for it to drip out, and that's not a standard Beit HaBad at all. That you could do. Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree. I hold you're allowed to do that even in the Beit HaBad itself. So, tochenu be-Beit HaBad u-machnis le-bodida. So, according to me, you don't need to do a shinoi all the way along. You need to do one shinoi. So, if I do, instead of the pressing, I do first the grinding. Instead of waiting till after the pressing and the turning of the screws and so on, and then when I have nothing else to do, I grind the remainder. And so instead, I do the grinding right away. Not the way that shinoi is enough. If the rest of the processing, just because it's being done in a Beit HaBad, a change in the way in which you do the processing would be sufficient. Aha! There you go. Chomer b'kodesh together with shvius all in one day, and the transition from Ein Darshan. And darn it, Ira does not see. Now, the whole thing was meant to be a production for Ira. I was going to have music at the beginning, music at the end, very dramatic music. I recorded like the original Dark Knight stuff, and nothing. He doesn't show up. All right, we'll have to have him listen to it. See you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. It's always fun. Tomorrow, you could even come in right at the beginning with a picture. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. All of this fear, that's part of the Purim idea. All of this comes from the Gan Eden issue of the Echave. But you want to be engaged in the Reteris. There's nothing to hide. That was what the Shir was about. I thought everybody for sure would come in, you know, with a full, like, happy involvement. We'd have Richie smiling the whole time. Incredible. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem. See you later. Yes, yes. Excellente. We have to remember Chodesh Tov, and that allows us to put things off till a quarter two.
Also Friday?
8:15 would be good. Yes. Quarter after.
Quarter after 7? No
problem. And Rav Kaplan's fund. And Rav Kaplan's fund coming up.
I think that Rabbi Barnea is offering a papal dispensation to skip Rosh Chodesh for Rav Kaplan's fund, something like that. So we could start at normal time, but you need to have your 100 shekel minimum for Rav Kaplan's fund if you're going to get away with murder. Was that the point? Halakha l'maisa, would a quarter to be okay? Is a quarter to okay for tomorrow, or must we go later? Or we can't really go later for our boys in Joburg, right? And for the people that actually work for a living around here, would be a problem. All right, so we have our dispensation for a quarter to Bezrat Hashem, and you can always do Musaf at the right time. Remember, when you're doing Musaf early, it's not really the right time, you know? There's got to be that time. You have to finish the Tamid Shel Shachar, and then you go to Musaf. I mean, this thing is only a dispensation for people too lazy to go back to Shul for Musaf. So, you know, Adarab, it gives you an opportunity to do it right.